if you met my mom, you would laugh at that because it doesn't make any sense at all. She did applesauce and pickle-lily and jardiniere and pickles, and we did all that stuff. Hey, is this going to be a swearing podcast?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so she did all
except
that shit.
I kind of whisper when I swear, so you might pull all the weight.
That's adorable. I will pull all the weight on that.
Okay, I don't mind at all.
I'll pull all the weight on that. So.
From Kiss My Aster Studios, this is the Gardening Girls Podcast with your hosts, Amanda Thompson and Michelle Gervais.
First podcast as the Garden Girls.
Yay.
And
the Garden Girls.
That's right. And I think first we're supposed to say why we get to be the Garden Girls. Why us? I mean, there's a lot of podcasts out there. There's not still remarkably, even though there's like 80 million podcasts, there's not a ton of garden podcasts.
I don't think there are.
So we're just another option out there. Mm-hmm. We're not saying we're the best, but that's just because it's our first one. I've got to be honest. Give us some time, baby. Give us some time.
We'll be cranking. You got to tell us about your gardening experience, I think, first.
I grew up gardening and thinking that everybody did. And my parents had I grew up in a huge backyard and we had a huge victory garden. My parents were obsessed with Crockett's victory garden. I don't know.
See, I've never actually met someone who actually had a victory garden.
Well, I mean, I'm not of the age where it was during World War II. I mean, it was just like, you know, like that was the term for James Underhill Crockett and his show, The Victory Garden. So, right. But it was, I think I figured out once that it was a good 50 feet long and 30 feet wide. So, I mean, we're talking a big,
it's pretty big.
Yeah. With a fence and a door that slammed and I just kind of grew up thinking that was normal. We also had like an orchard and berries and horseradish, and they lived, my parents were like the first yuppies ever kind of, and they were really into this thing. And my mom did all the canning, and if you met my mom, you would laugh at that because it doesn't make any sense at all. She did applesauce and pickle-lily and jardiniere and pickles, and we did all that stuff. Hey, is this going to be a swearing podcast?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so she did all
except that
shit.
I kind of whisper when I swear, so you might pull all the weight.
That's adorable. I will pull all the weight on that.
Okay, I don't mind at all.
I'll pull all the weight on that. So, and then in high school, I didn't take greenhouse classes because that was for the stoners.
Yeah.
Did you have that too?
You had greenhouse classes?
Yeah, we did.
Didn't have greenhouse classes.
I grew up in a fancy neighborhood. So, well, I mean, it was fancy enough that we had a greenhouse, but it was not fancy enough that the only kids taking it were the stoners.
Huh.
And
greenhouse classes.
Yeah. And I never went to school. I know you went to school for horticulture.
It doesn't mean much. Don't worry.
Well, that's what friends tell me. Yeah. My first apartment, I was digging plants out of a florist's dumpster and putting them on my patio, and I won like a patio award when I was 20. I wasn't even legal to have an apartment. And it just kind of went from there. So I was an apartment gardener, and then we started getting yards, and I started working in garden centers at 24, 23, right around there. I went full-time into garden centers. And then from garden centers went into landscaping indoor plants, which was nuts, but I wanted to learn it, did that. Yep. And then I became a total flipping guru.
You are.
Yeah, I've lived it. Like there's, I've got it, you know, like all the frown lines and all the potential skin cancer.
See, you say I went to school for horticulture, but I feel like you're a lot more legit than I am.
Well,
but you also have it in your blood. So I did not have it in my blood at all.
I think we all have it in our blood, but.
Well, my parents growing up, I think had one vegetable garden 1 year, and it was mildly successful, but not enough for them to be motivated enough to do it again. So I did not have gardening in my blood at all. But when I was 12 years old, one of our neighbors up the road had a greenhouse and they were looking for help. So I went and deadheaded the petunias and I transplanted the herb seedlings for like a whole summer. I would just hang out in this greenhouse and drink herbal tea and work in the greenhouse. And that was sort of my start, but I kind of forgot about it after a while and went through high school and didn't really have a passion. So when I started college, I started as a math major.
I did not know that about you.
Yeah, I was a math major. And the first class they give you when you're a math major is five-hour calculus, which is get up at and get to class by 8 o'clock every single morning to talk about calculus. It was sort of, I think, designed to weed people out, and it weeded me out. In the meantime, well, you're away from college for the first time, but on your own,
right?
You're not going to wake up for an 8 o'clock class every single morning.
No.
Luckily, I was taking an introduction to horticulture class just on a whim my second semester, and I said, "Screw this, I'm switching." And that's how I got into horticulture. I sort of rediscovered it in college, but really, majoring in horticulture it means nothing.
Really?
Until you go out and start working in the business, it means nothing. You think you're learning all this stuff and you really are not. Because I wasn't working in the industry at all. I didn't have like summer jobs in horticulture. It's just like you're learning the basics, but you don't really learn about gardening until you do it.
I agree. I mean, I can grow stuff. I don't always know the right word for it. And famously, you know all the right Latin for everything.
All the Latin.
And
less now than I used to, but yes, all the Latin.
I was thinking about you the other day. I was driving around cracking myself up because the old rule for Latin is that whatever people taught you is the correct. Like, you can't figure this stuff out for yourself often.
Yeah.
So when I in the garden centers I grew up working in, it was, and I have a hard time even saying it wrong now, it was Agastache.
Yep.
And when I've learned it was Agastache,
no.
That's not it?
Don't say that.
Really?
Don't say that. Oh, I can't stand that.
I heard that is the correct way to say it.
Oh, I can't stand it. It's just like when people call it clematis.
Well, what do you say?
What?
Agastache. You say Agastache too?
I say Agastache, yeah.
Oh, man. I think we're both wrong, though.
No, we can't be.
Okay, you're right.
We are right.
Together, we can't be wrong.
No, we're right.
Let's take a stand.
Yes. No.
Because
what did you say?
Agastache.
No, I'm aghast at that.
Oh, no. That was cute alliteration. It was adorable, Michelle.
You don't say clematis, do you? Because that sounds like a venereal disease.
I might say clematis. It's very Midwestern.
Oh, I guess it does sound Midwestern, but don't you sound so much more cultured when you say clematis?
How about this? I believe that it's clematis, but still, in order to not offend the people that I try to work with, I just kind of say they say, and I try not to be condescending.
Oh, come on. Clematis isn't condescending.
It can be.
Okay. Clematis
is not condescending. Clematis. That's
clematis. Yes.
That's condescending is AF. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So you have a degree in horticulture.
I do.
And also in
what?
English, don't you?
Nope.
I thought you did.
No, I hated English class. I hated it with a passion. Hated writing papers. I hated, you know, reading the classics. No, thank you.
Really?
Yeah. You don't ask me how I became an editor. I have no idea, because that's not where I thought I would end up.
Amazing, because you're an amazing editor.
And yeah,
I've enjoyed working with you in the past. You, yes, you know all the rules and all that stuff.
Well, you know what? That's what a copy editor is for.
That too. God bless the copy editors.
Oh my gosh. Unsung heroes.
So tell me about your garden.
My garden is about a half acre in the middle of town, in my little New England town. Half of it is down on a floodplain by the Housatonic River. And the other half is way up on the hill, but it's really flat. And my house is from the 19th century, so it's 150 years old. So we're sort of working with those bones.
Is it haunted?
It's not haunted. We actually had a friend who claims to be sensitive to those things. She came into our house and said it's not haunted. Yay. But so we're sort of working with those bones of a lower class Victorian house. But when we moved here, there was a huge above ground pool that took up the whole backyard. And the first thing we did was take that out. So that made the garden a lot bigger. And now it's just trial and error for 17 years.
17 years is a nice haul, though.
It is. But I feel like we're not even close to the level of done we should be at 17 years. But I guess everyone feels like that, right?
I think everyone feels that way. And also, I'm just going to say it because I don't know that you realize it, but your amazing husband, Rob, helps you, like, imagine amazing. Yeah, he helps imagine huge goals. You guys have huge goals, and you work to achieve those, which I mean, is like a dream thing situation.
Yeah, I always tell people, don't marry a lawyer, don't marry a doctor, marry a carpenter.
I'm gonna second that So you guys are always on the move. You guys always have a project. You're always working together. And I love how your garden, and I haven't been to your garden, I've seen a lot of photos. Your garden has vistas. You're very careful about how you plan views.
And I think that's why we bought our house, is because of the Housatonic River in our backyard. And a lot of what we do is based on capitalizing on that view. So it's like if you're lucky enough to have a view of water, which we are very lucky. This was probably the cheapest house in our town when we bought our house. And we were amazed by that because we looked out the kitchen window and there was a view of water. And we're like, what? Why is this house still available? And it was really cheap. So we're very lucky. So we always capitalize on that view because it's amazing.
Yes. And you are also, a grade A container queen. And you never talk about that. You're like, here's a picture of my containers, but you're just so like not in anyone's face about it. And you really could be, because your containers are really up there.
Well, that's because I know so many container gardeners who are way better than me. I know better.
I don't know. That. I mean, I should say that you and I are very, very similar in, we have a lot of, so much in common until we don't.
Yeah.
We have very similar taste in what, like,
but you're much more daring than I am. And I think that's what I most admire about you. You're willing to take serious risks and it really works. Whereas I'm very conservative.
Yes, I think that's so true. But I'm more willing to take risks than, like, you know, anybody. Like, I mean, just in general, that's not a thing for me. Also, something that you do, and I always know that it's you when I see these photos, is you're really good about making bouquets.
Oh, I love making bouquets. Yeah, I can probably make a bouquet out of my garden 11 months out of the year, because people think of having to have like a cutting garden or a ton of things flowering at one point to have bouquets, and you really don't. You just walk around your yard and take one sprig of 15 different things and you can make something beautiful.
I agree. I totally agree. And it bums me out that people are so precious with their stuff.
Yeah. I mean, just cut them, man. You won't even notice.
I love at the end of this summer to take like the top of a tomato with a couple baby tomatoes on it and put it in a vase. I'm like,
and then it smells
so good, right?
Oh my gosh.
So there's just nothing that is precious in my garden that I won't stick in a vase. But I love
cut branches off your shrubs, cut everything, weeds. I go into the weed patch and cut some weeds. There's some great weeds. You can just put them in and people are amazed.
I agree.
Yeah.
There's no rules for what you can do. No. I have a slight rule. That is that whatever I bring in, my cat's going to chew on. So oftentimes when I take a photo for Instagram or something, it's me being fake beyond fake, because that bouquet will never even come in.
But you know what you're really good at? You're amazing at staging, because I know your Amaryllis photos from Christmas were stunning. I mean, you take all your stuff, because you and I are both big thrifters.
Yes.
We love thrifting.
Yeah.
And you find the coolest stuff and you put it together with plants to make these vignettes that are ridiculous. I love it.
That's something that, I mean, did you do this thing when you were little and you would go and like move all your furniture in your room?
Oh yeah, all the time.
That's who I am still so much, is like moving things around and making little vignettes with my stuff. Mm-hmm. And I still enjoy that when I get the time to be able to do that, though. I mean, I love doing all that stuff. So, and I have a bunch of, you know, I have a lot of junk, so it's fun to pull that out and play with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes a quiet moment without any interruptions to really be able to be creative like that.
Which, yes.
And that's pretty rare.
It is really rare.
But you seem to do it really well. All right, tell me about your garden.
So I'm on an acre and a quarter just outside of Chicago, which is a really big piece of property for this area. And there's a little stream.
And I haven't been to this garden yet. I went to your old one, but
yeah.
Not this one.
Oh, yeah. And that wasn't even a garden. That was just like a pile of plants just kind of laying there. They were just laying there.
Well, when I went to your old garden, let's give you some credit. You had a newborn baby.
Yes, I just had a little baby. So this is, it's a very large property. It's a 1950s ranch, and it had old 1950s landscaping, and it was just a lot of grass. And there's a little stream that runs through the property. It's not quite the, what was the name of your river?
The Housatonic.
I wasn't going to try to say it. I remembered the name. I also wasn't going to butcher it. Mine is the Gin and Tonic River. It's actually just a trickle. And I have worked really hard for about 6 years on this garden and trying to just make it really heaven for pollinators. I don't even care about, I haven't really gotten to the tidy part of it. I'm just like abundance right now and letting things get crazy and then moving things around. And I don't get a lot of help. So I'm often over my head and often just feeling not quite tragic about it, but like it's sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, oh my gosh, I really need to fix this or weed this or do this. And I'm always behind.
I think we all feel that desperation once in a while. We wake up, we're like, what the hell?
Right.
I'm never going to make that good.
And I mean, before I had Hazel, the baby who's now 8, I used to, you know, wake up every morning and take my coffee outside and be like, good morning, plants. I love you. And now I'm like, oh God, why do you need water?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's a lot different. And it's still, gardening is still my happy place. It's just life goes on. And, you know, I know that someday Hazel will move on and I'll be back with my plants. I don't resent her. I don't resent the plants. I want to have it all, and I'm not going to stop until I somehow make that happen. So I have a huge slope in the front yard, and I'm trying to make that all perennials, which is like, it's killing me because it's in the front yard. I don't like gardening in the front yard because people are like looking at you or speeding past your head or dogs are peeing on you.
Do you like when people stop to talk to you, or you wish they would just keep going?
I'm going to say I don't like people in general. but it's not true. I am not a people hater. I so need to be in the zone and I need that flow. Right. I don't like being interrupted at all. I often listen to books on tape or Audible or podcasts. And I'm like so into that when a family member comes out to like say, hey, they need me, it will scare the living shit out of me. I'm like so in the zone. So my front slope gets a little bit ignored because I love having the plants out there to look at. I don't like maintaining in the front at all.
Right, right.
I have a huge vegetable garden on the side, like huge. I don't know what I was thinking. It's easily 200 square feet.
Oh, wow.
And then I have some other gardens.
What are you harvesting right now?
I just took up my garlic and shallots.
Oh, nice.
I think it was time for the garlic. It looked like it was, and the garlic looks great. And the shallots, Hazel kept eating the tops off of like a rabbit, and then water was getting in the leaves and they were just starting to fail. So I dug them up before they rotted. And, I've got some really great squash coming up. Cucumbers are just coming now. I've got tons of beans and, I've got corn, quinoa.
Quinoa.
Yeah, I planted over 2,000.
You can plant that in Chicago?
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. It's supposed to get 6 feet tall, and it's like 4 feet tall, but it's not over yet.
I keep hearing that you need like a mountainous region to grow quinoa.
So
and
far.
I really want to grow it, but I mean, was it's afraid basically, that I would fail.
It's basically lamb's quarters, which grows anywhere.
That's true.
So that's like my weirdest thing that I'm doing this year. And then I've got broccoli rabe going everywhere, and I mean like literally everywhere. and there's a ton of corn out there. I don't know if I'll actually get corn, but you know what I've decided this year is that you have to grow corn in order for your garden to have that look. It's yes. it's truly, it's a prop crop.
Yes, it makes it look like a vegetable garden.
It does. I've got every kind of bean, gourd, pumpkin, melon, you name it. I've got it all going out there, and it's starting to get pretty crazy out there.
Yeah. I have one vegetable growing right now.
What is
and
it?
And I didn't do it. Well, we had a vegetale garden last year. We did the straw bale gardening. You know of straw bale gardening,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Is it?
Did well, it... I did it only once, and I loved it. But this year, we were too lazy, so we didn't set up the straw bales. But last year on the straw bales, we grew ground cherries.
Yeah.
And so this year, in that corner where the vegetable garden was, the only truly sunny corner of my yard. Well, no, that's different. We had two big trees taken down, so it's sunnier now. But anyway, we just mulched that whole entire area. I tried to self-sow a bunch of flowers to have a cutting garden because, I just said you don't need a cutting garden. But all these things failed, and the groundhog, the damn groundhog, kept eating everything. And so all that's left there is nasturtiums, and I was so pissed off by the whole thing that I haven't visited that area in probably 2 weeks. And then last night, we went over there. Rob and I were taking a little walkabout. And he's like, what are all those weeds? That whole garden is weeds. And I looked closer and I'm like, wait a minute. That looks familiar. It's a forest of ground cherries.
Oh, my gosh.
There must be 500 ground cherry seedlings. And I don't know if there's time to get ground cherries, but I'm going to have to thin them out. It's so thick in there. So, yay. I love ground cherries.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I had no idea. But you know what? Last year, I didn't get to eat any of the ground cherries because all the squirrels ate every single one before I would come home every day.
See, can you just drop a net on that?
Yeah, I think maybe I should. Though the squirrels aren't as bad this year, but...
That's because they all died of ground cherry exhaustion.
They overdosed. Yeah, I was so pissed. I hated them last year. But yeah, so that's the only thing edible we have growing in our garden right now. It's ridiculous. We're horrible at vegetable gardening.
Really?
Horrible. Yeah, I can't grow a tomato.
Really?
I grew a sun gold tomato 3 years ago. I think I got 5 sun gold tomatoes.
Man, that's bizarre.
The only gardener in the history of the world who can't grow a sun gold
tomato. It's just because you don't have enough sun.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't think it's just that. I think I'm just cursed. I can't do it.
You're cursed.
Yeah, I no veggies for me.
That's insanity. Maybe, I don't know. I guess I grew up doing this, but I am like the happiest, laziest vegetable gardener. I mean, I broadcast seed. I mean, that's nuts. Who does that?
Yeah. Well, part of the problem might be that I don't have a dedicated vegetable garden, really. I just have tiny little spots around the yard for the longest time that were sunny.
Yeah.
So I would just try to pop things in, and they would get ignored.
I did that for years.
See? I am cursed.
You
then,
are
because you can do it. I can't do it.
So I have like a goth garden in back where there's only like purple and blood red plants and dark leaves, and I would just, you know, that's where I plant the indigo rose tomato right next to the dahlias and just jam it in the ground, and that always worked out really, really well for me.
Oh, man, tell me something you can't grow.
I will when I think of it.
There is nothing.
I have a hard time with I couldn't grow a willow structure. I wanted to grow a willow structure and I couldn't.
I've always wanted to do that.
I'm not a waterer, so I have a hard time with like hibiscus, which I mean, I don't, and I have hibiscus, but things that are really thirsty plants.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with, I hate growing tomatoes, and that's every year I do it like at the end of August, I'm like, oh God, don't ever do this again. But I do it. Yeah. I don't even particularly care to eat. I like homegrown tomatoes, but I don't love homegrown tomatoes. I won't eat them like gross tomatoes in January anywhere, but I like a homegrown tomato. I'm not like a tomato. No one in this house is like, oh yeah, tomatoes. I still have like, 10, 15 plants.
Right. well, you can just pack them all in a box and send them here.
My neighbor
planted like 30 tomato plants, and I'm just hoping she has a bumper crop so I get some. That's my only hope.
Did you have a cold, wet spring like we did here in the Midwest?
We did. It was pretty cold.
So I'm so far behind. Last year, I ran a very small, I mean, we're talking mini little CSA out of my backyard. And I was selling vegetables and making like $100 a month. And this year I'm like, I've had like 6 beans and 4 cucumbers. Like this, like even my lettuce didn't really do much this year.
Well, even at work, we have a little display garden at work with flower bulbs. And this year they bloomed a full 2 weeks later than normal.
Yeah. I'm feeling it. I'm really feeling it. And I don't know. I know that August, well, everything will sort itself out. But
you always think you're going to have a horrible year. And then August, everything catches up and snap.
That's the truth. And I like, I have a lot of friends that I help with gardens, you know, just like 24-hour tech support. Like, why is this happening? And I'm like,
yeah,
we all forget about August because it's August is a tough month. It's when you have to jam so much in. And that's how plants are, too. They're like, whoop, better catch up, better. Like, you didn't have any flowers on your peppers. Well, guess what? It took like 3 months to make one pepper, and now you're going to have 72 peppers in 22 days.
Well, it's amazing what a little bit of heat will do. You forget how important heat is. Yeah. And then towards the end of July, all of a sudden it's, you know, 90 degrees and everything wants to grow. And we forget that that moment comes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that there's like that tricky spot too, between heat and too hot to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And we have already been in a too hot to grow zone here where the heat index was 110 and 114 and the plants are just like,
I had that too.
Shut it down.
I feel like in 2 weeks all of a sudden my garden's gotten exhausted. It was great up until July 4th, thankfully, because I always have a huge bash on July 4th, and then it was like, okay, we're done. And now they're all just sort of like drooping and going brown and watering desperately.
I have to say, and this is like a, I know that these are fighting words. I have not watered my garden this year, except for my vegetables.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you have containers?
Yeah. I mean, I water the containers. I didn't have any containers until just like 2 weeks ago because I was just going to write it off. And then there was like a TV appearance here and I had to make it look like I cared more than I probably did. I watered the containers a little bit and I've watered the vegetables, but I have not watered my perennials at all this year.
Wow. That's pretty good.
I'm really flag that, edit that out.
No, we're real. We're going to call. It's early in the morning. I'm clearing my throat. Okay.
No, it was just me getting excited about talking about not watering. I've really not watered very much.
I have to say, we haven't watered that much, but once in a while, when it looks pretty bad out there, we'll put the sprinkler on and forget about it for 2 hours.
Right. You know, we're on Chicago city water, so yep. I've really planted, you know, water-wise plants because, you know, when you put in a plant that you got for free from a friend and then you water it with Chicago city water,
it
becomes like a, you know, $30,000 plant.
Well, we have city water too, but if there's one thing my husband has learned is that we don't scrimp on water or air conditioning if we want the family to be happy.
Mine is we don't scrimp on spray paint or rum.
Oh, nice.
Very different values in our family.
Very different priorities, yes.
Yeah. But I'm proud that my plants that, you know, I've planted wisely and they're established. Yeah, you've planted wisely. And I mean, I have some new plants that I'm growing in a test garden in the back. Those have gotten water every day, but but they're adjacent to the vegetable garden. So it's overall a super low maintenance gardening. I mean, people joke that you can't have a low maintenance garden, and you can.
You can.
Depending on how lazy you are.
It's all about the mulch, I have to say.
What kind of mulch do you like?
Oh, gosh. I'm addicted to Sweet Pete. Do you know Sweet Pete?
No, tell me everything
you know.
Can we
just please get a sponsor?
Well, let's send...
Sweet Pete is a national company, I think. There's Sweet Pete's everywhere. You could get Sweet Pete there. You can get it all over the country. And it's, I think it's this organic... It's like a cross between compost and mulch, finely shredded mulch. And it's just dreamy. You want to eat it.
Okay,
and
this sounds
it's expensive.
Like... Oh, how much is it?
It's like $50 a yard.
This sounds like here we have, I do know the brand name, but I can't think of it right now. There's a soil amendment product and I think it's Black Forest, but I'm not sure. And it sounds a lot like that. And it is dreamy and it's about $45 a yard. So it's probably very comparable. And for years I used it to backfill my holes. I used it as mulch. Yeah. And I used it as, I would just get that delivered and not use anything else. So in my containers, I would use that. And then when I dumped my containers I had a fresh, that was really good in the autumn when I would put in my bulbs and then empty out my containers. I could just cover them up with that.
See, I wonder if yours must be a lot more soil-like. Ours feels more like a fine mulch. I don't know if I could use it as soil.
I use mulch as soil all the time.
Oh, interesting.
I have clay soil, so I last year in the beginning of the spring, I had 7 yards of like just arborist chips, just like from the city pickup delivered, and I let it compost in my front yard for a year.
Yeah.
And then what was inside was such a nice composted wood chip mix with obviously not a ton of nutrients, but it had a nice texture, and I've been using that to backfill holes, and I use that for my potatoes in baskets and for good drainage, because my potatoes often rot.
Right, in the clay.
In the clay. So I find it to be a really good amendment, but I have not gotten the soil conditioner for a few years, because that's an expensive endeavor.
It is. We have it delivered every year, but we just mark it down as one of our garden investments every year. We get like 4 or 5 yards.
I agree. Delivered. I agree.
Yeah, it's just beautiful, beautiful stuff. And no matter what you do for the rest of the season, if you've mulched with this stuff, everything looks good. We've got the whole neighborhood addicted to it. It's pretty bad. We all spend hundreds of dollars on sweet pea.
Is it filled with nutrients?
Yes. Man. It's wonderful.
It's so dreamy, dreamy
stuff. Yeah, it's like come May in this neighborhood, there's just truckloads of sweet peat everywhere, and everyone's shoveling sweet peat. It's
wonderful. And you get it from the local garden center?
Yeah, there's 2 or 3 places just in our town that sell it. And you can either go and get it put into your pickup truck, or you can have it delivered, several yards delivered. And I have heard that they sell it in bags, but I haven't seen it in bags. But I don't know why you would buy it in bags. That would be crazy expensive, sure.
Yeah, sometimes that's just...
Well, if you don't have a pickup truck or a place dump a big tarp full, you have to.
I am a big believer in small projects. Sometimes people find getting a couple yards delivered really daunting.
Yeah, definitely. It depends on the project you're doing.
Well, I mean, I'm a big believer in like small projects for moms who have too much on their plate already. And if you can get something done after dinner with 3 bags of mulch that maybe costs a little bit more, but then it's done, like that done feeling, like that pile.
Yeah, but the first time you have a tarp of it in your driveway and you can just keep going back to it
weeks
on end.
I agree, but
it's a wonderful feeling, but not everybody can do that.
Yeah, and that bugs some people, that feeling of having that pile there, not just untidiness, but like
bugs our neighbors.
Yeah, there's a project that needs to be finished. Like I didn't care if the mulch sitting in my driveway for a year bothered anybody. I was like, yeah, I'm composting. I am actually like, I could be asleep and I'm still composting. I felt really great about it, but I have a huge driveway.
I like the feeling of, I have a tiny driveway, and that's why we have to get rid of it pretty quickly when we have it delivered. But I like that feeling of having that big pile of mulch and knowing that I have to use it up, and it motivates us to do all of our projects early rather than let it sit there, because we have a tiny driveway in town, and I'm sure our neighbors are like, oh my God, the mulch is still there. But we love our neighbors. It's fine. So
yeah, you do have really good neighbors.
We have amazing neighbors.
Yeah, you guys get together and you help each other out. And
yeah,
all
we're
the kids
a big family.
Friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have the opposite of that here.
Oh no.
It's just what it is. And I know that I'm a very boisterous personality, but
you can come move to my neighborhood.
I will consider that. I will consider that. I think of myself as so Midwestern, and maybe that
your area is way cooler than my area. I don't think you should move here. I should probably move there.
Chicago is the best. I live in an area that is very, they're old. People are older than us, and they're very old fashioned, and it's not a very creative community. And I am like the creative soul that moved in, but I am having a big orange splot situation.
Yay.
Right. I do have a neighbor who was,
we should give some context to that.
Yeah. When I had Hazel, you sent me this book, The Big Orange Splot by Daniel Pinkwater. And it's a book. You sent it to me. It's all you.
I did. Yeah.
And
it's
a book
about a guy who, drop a can of
orange paint? A seagull, Mr. Plumbean. A seagull comes by and drops a can of orange paint on his roof. And his neighbors say, this is a neat street. You have to clean that off. And Mr. Plumbean goes to the store, and instead of buying the things to turn his house back into normal, he buys more paint and makes his house like a total Technicolor dream. And his neighbors, one at a time, take him aside and say, Mr. Plumbean, this is a neat street. And he says, this is my house. My house is me. My house is who I am, and this is what I want. And he, one by one, turns his neighbors into...
I love that book.
I do, too. I think it's the only book on home landscaping that you need. Like, you don't need a book about how to plant trees. You need a book that fills your wings with the steam to be who you are on the outside.
I feel like it's the perfect companion to your book.
I feel that much, very, very much. And so one of his neighbors turns his house into like a tiki shack, and one is a ship. It looks like a ship. Mm-hmm. And they do all these really cool things. And so one of my neighbors, he owns a couple houses on the street. He's like a cool older guy. And he started hanging like cool flags and cool ornaments on his house. And they noticed how when I get a plant, like if I get free plants from a friend, I'll just put it right. I don't know if you've ever done this. I'll just dig a hole right in the grass and put it in. Like, I'm like, I'm going to put it here someday. But there's not a garden bed here yet. Yeah. I'll just stick something right in the grass, and then eventually I'll get around to it. And they just started sticking stuff in the grass too. Like, I, you know, following my very shitty lead. Yeah. But it feels good.
Yeah. Oh, good. So it's spreading.
It's spreading.
You're contagious.
Yeah. And there's a couple houses on our block for sale. I don't think because of us, but hey, you never know. And as the older couples move out, young families move in, and the young families are like, let's have chickens, yo. And I'm so happy about that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Our neighborhood is slowly, our neighborhood will never be gentrified. We're literally on the wrong side of the tracks. We have freight train tracks right across the street from us. And, we kind of like our neighborhood cause it's rough around the edges, but it's not dangerous. But you know, if we don't mow our lawn every 4 days, people are just fine with that. But I really like that our neighborhood just keeps getting more and more interesting and a little less scary, because for a while we had some neighbors who would like to scream obscenities at the top of their lungs. That was fun.
I lived that life, yes, when I lived in Valparaiso.
The gardening is spreading. Everybody in our little stretch of houses gardens like crazy. So we're always sharing plants. And, you know, we used to have neighborhood work days where we would all descend on one garden and house and work, like 10 of us together, on each other's houses for a day.
You don't do that anymore? And,
we didn't do it this year. We're all getting old and tired. And the new thought is maybe we should hire some people and just watch them work and drink beer and offer them beer at the end of the day.
I approve of both ideas. I think both ideas are really great.
I think we're also running out of big projects that we can have big groups of people do, because, you know, it's great when you just spread 5 yards of mulch and you have like 6 gardeners doing that. But when you don't have a project like that and we need to, you know, renovate the bathroom or install something special outside, when you can't have, you know, 10 people helping you with it, you kind of run out of projects for a crowd.
Yeah, I guess. A couple weeks ago, I had a bunch of friends come over and help me get my garden in shape for a TV appearance that was here in my backyard. Yeah. And that was like, it's a callback to the way society used to be, like a barn raising or something. I love that shit. I just eat it up.
It was wonderful. Yeah. The work days while we did it were really, really wonderful. It's just, it felt like a great community thing. You would get massive amounts of work done. And luckily a lot of us were gardeners. So you could just set them loose in the garden and just weed the entire garden. And you knew that they weren't going to pull something that you loved up. And it was a wonderful feeling. And I feel like more people need to get into this community neighborhood feeling of helping each other rather than just watching from afar.
I so feel that. And do you think I'm probably limiting myself by not working in my front yard enough and talking to people?
Nah. You got to vet those people, man. You can't just take people off the street.
I guess that's true. I don't know. I've always wanted to have that neighborhood feeling. And yet I feel like my resting bitch face of a personality, you know, I try to hold
people. You don't have resting bitch face.
Well, no, I mean, but like, there's like a little bit of me that's like, I'm a lot to take and I'm pretty creative and people can't follow along. So I tend to just kind of clam up and not even try.
No, I think the people who get you right off are the ones you want weeding your garden.
That too. That too. Yeah. And whereas I benefited from my friends coming over a couple weeks ago, I love doing that at other people's houses. I love helping out. Are you the neighborhood guru or do people?
Kind of, though. I have another neighbor who is a serious gardener. She's really great. So I try not to be the neighborhood guru because I don't know anything. Really, the older I get, the more I think I don't know anything about gardening. So when people ask me for gardening advice, see, you're really good at it. That's what you do. But when people say, I have a gardening question, my anxiety level goes up. I'm like,
really? I didn't know that about you.
Oh, yeah. Because the older I get, the more I feel like I know nothing. So, you know, I can tell you what that plant is, but I'm not going to tell you exactly what it needs because I'm still learning.
I feel very secure in my knowledge, but I also know that there's a lot I don't know, and I learn something every day.
Well, the difference between you and I think, is that you have been in the dirt.
In the fields, yeah.
Doing, you know, gardening in the field for so many years, whereas I studied horticulture. I was in the field for like a year or two, and then I went into an office and became an editor and a photographer. And so I feel like I don't really have the chops to really be an authority.
Interesting.
In real life.
If this is like the only thing I feel like I can be an authority about. I'm actually not very confident to voice, like, to make myself heard in other things, which is
really,
really shocking to people. Yeah. I don't comment on things. I don't pipe up.
Well, you're faking it till you make it because you sound incredibly confident in everything you do.
Well, just in gardening. Everything else, I'm just like, I don't really know what I'm talking about. So I think there's so many people in this world who just pipe up because they have an opinion.
Right.
And that's just bullshit that I'm tired of. So I'm not contribute to that. I mean, people, even when I post something, if I post something on the Kiss My Aster page and people write their comment or their opinion that has nothing to do with anything, I'm just like, just go take that minute of your life that you wasted and go do something else.
Go sit down.
Yeah. Go sit down. It's just, I love contributions. I love having a conversation, but there's just so much like, this is my opinion. This is my two cents. And they don't even care. It's like an echo chamber. They don't even care.
They're just typing.
They're just typing.
I just feel like there's so many people out there who just type to type.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. I don't ever want to contribute to that. So I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I keep my mouth shut in a lot of things.
Yeah. So
do you want to talk about how we're going to structure these podcasts going forward?
I do. Because we came up with this really cool idea.
I hope
it's going to work.
Yes, you did.
And then we brainstormed it. So this first episode is called Introduction, and we're hoping that every episode will have a shun theme at get it dash T-I-O-N, shun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is Introduction. We've sort of introduced ourselves and introduced our gardens, but some of the other shuns we want to do, maybe ornamentation, congregation, expectation. We can talk about that one. Tradition. Selection, correction, obsession. See, I think we can. I think we can have some interesting
S-I-O-N.
Oh, semantics.
We could also have fashion if we're gonna get
fashion. Ooh, that would be good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we're hoping we can make each episode themed like that, and hopefully have some great guests that sort of go with each theme.
And we're going to try to, we're aiming for good guests and good sponsors. Wink, wink.
Wink.
Extra wink.
That would be great.
Yeah.
What are we going to do next? Do we know?
We don't. I mean, we do, but we're not talking about it because we want to keep, you know, we want to keep some mystery.
The anticipation.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
That's what we're hoping to do. Should we wrap this one up with a fun little question?
Yes. I'm hoping you have the fun question because I don't.
I have a fun little question. Okay. At this moment, what's today's date? I don't know. It's late July.
Late July.
Early August sometime. What three plants in your garden are making you the happiest at this moment?
So we're asking for other people to comment or you're asking me that?
No, I'm asking you.
Oh.
Yeah. But also people should comment.
Stressful. Well, right now, my Echinops Ritro is looking really great. Do you say it like that?
Ooh, yeah, I say Echinops Ritro. Ritro. That's okay.
It could be Ritro, and I just like Ritro. it looks really good.
Hazy blue, spiky.
Yes, and I have a plant I can't think of the name of right now that I'm just going to, which is weird, but I'm just going to, it's also, I'm just going to say, I mean, disclaimer, it's still early in the morning.
Yeah.
It Stokies, right? You say Stokies?
Stokies?
No, we know. Stokesia.
Stokesia.
Can we like edit that out?
No.
Stokes. It's Stokes. Is it Stokes Aster? What is that?
Stokes Aster. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay. Stokesia.
I think so. It's just like, it's one of those plants that never gets
Stokesia.
It never gets enough credit, and it's blooming its face off. Peaches, something. I don't know. It's very early. And you're an hour ahead of me on the East Coast. Yes. I slept in the sofa last night watching reruns of The White Queen. So we're going to give me some credit on that. That's looking really good in my garden right now.
Yeah.
And also, what else is looking great? I am a sucker for cup plant, and that just started.
Oh, cup plant. I want cup plant.
I'll send you.
I can't find it here. Send me some.
When it sneezed seeds all over my yard. Now I have a forest of cup plant, and
I want some.
And I'm not mad at it. Like am a big fan. And the extras are the ones that flop over. I cut into little lengths, and I'm making a really nice insect hotel out of them.
Oh, I want some.
Yeah. So what three plants are kicking it in your yard?
All right. Well, number one on my list, which if you ask me 6 months of the year, is my favorite plant right now. It's my Dutchman's pipe.
Yes.
Aristolochia. Macrophylla, I think. It used to cover our entire pergola over our back porch, but we had to take the pergola down because it rotted away. And for a while it just sat in a lump on the back porch because I refused to take it out. This massive lump. And then last year Rob built an arbor for it, and now it's sort of climbing over the arbor, and it looks like a tidal wave of huge dark green hearts. And it's gorgeous, and I love it, and it's amazing. So there's that. That makes me happy every single day when I walk outside. And then I have a little thing in a pot that I started from seed this year for the first time called Night Phlox.
Do you know Night Phlox? Night Phlox. No.
Yeah.
Hey, there's no singing in this podcast. Remind me of that.
So I think it's Zalusianskaya.
I saw your photo and my mouth dropped open. And that's you know, the thing where we're going to, like, there's something you can learn every day. You can't ever be that guru who can, Night Phlox. Who knew?
I had never heard of it before, maybe 3 years ago. And I started it from seed this spring, just tiny little seeds, and put them in a pot after they started inside. I put them in a bigger pot outside. And it's this delicate little plant with these tiny little burgundy buds that are there all day. And then as the day starts to close, the buds start to open into these starry little white flowers, and they're adorable, but you have to wait until after dark, because for some reason after dark they get incredibly fragrant, and if you put your nose in them they smell like vanilla cake.
So like, is it similar to heliotrope in the smell?
Not quite.
Is it similar?
It's similar to heliotrope.
Oh my goodness gracious.
But these starry white flowers with like burgundy backs to their petals, and you just bury your nose in them. I have them on the table and on the back porch, and they're just wonderful. I love them, and I think I'll have them every year. And then my forest of ground cherries, of course. But I was asking Rob before we started what his favorite plants are right now, and he thinks right now our smoke bush is making him happy, because we had the smoke bush on the property line for probably the past 12 years that never got over 4 feet tall and always looked kind of dull and boring. But we're like, what's going on with that smoke bush? Because we have a neighbor who has a gorgeous one. But then we had 100-year-old maple taken down next door, and all of a sudden this year it has exploded, and it's gorgeous. And
that's the story of triumph.
I know. It hung on for probably a dozen years, just waiting for its moment to shine.
I love it.
And now it's shining. Yeah. So that's his favorite right now. So that's four plants. But
I was going to say, my Limelight hydrangea is just getting started, and I have walls of it, you know, like 6 foot walls of it. And I love it.
You keep going. We don't have to.
The more you talk about like what's blooming, the more I get excited about what's blooming. Yeah. So, you know,
One thing I'm very excited about that is not blooming yet is a new purple nasturtium.
Shut the garden gate.
Yep. It's called Purple Emperor.
You're going to text me? That's basically a sext right there. You're texting me that photo right now.
It's not blooming yet. I'm still waiting. So it starts out maybe like a purpley wine color, and then the blooms fade to like lavender. So I'll keep you posted.
I'm speechless.
And I'll send you seeds.
Something that just started blooming for me because I planted the seeds late is that amazing, I don't remember the name, and I'm going to say amazing morning glory together in the first time ever. Like those words are. You sent me a pink ruffled.
Oh, what's it called? Oh, split second.
The first one that the first flower wasn't deeply ruffled. And I was like, okay, no, that's pretty.
Yeah.
It looks like a 50s prom gown.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
a great morning glory.
And who says those words together? Hey, this, I know. Right, this morning glory is great.
I know, because I knew when I send you the seeds.
I know you
seeds,
do.
I knew you're not really into morning glories, but I'm like, I'm going to send this to her anyway.
I love morning glories. I just don't
but
love.
But they take over.
Yeah, they take over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, if you put the purple one in, yeah, you've got morning glories for life.
I didn't put the purple one in. The purple one hitchhiked in this with something else, and now I have it everywhere.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It is. And I love it. I'm not really that sorry. It's easy to pull out. It's just everywhere.
But it just gets tangled in everything. I don't love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to wrap it up. I think we should ask people to comment on the three things
that are making them happiest right now. Yeah.
If anyone's listening to this, I want proof. And I want to
hear your pictures.
Send us pictures. Send us your three things that are happening right now in your yard. We want to know that you're out there because we're going to make podcasts because we enjoy talking to each other regardless, but it would be really nice to know that there are people out there.
And I'll post pictures of my three favorites right now, too.
Oh, perfect.
My ground cherry forest. I have to go take a picture.
I want to see pictures of the ground cherry forest.
All righty. So that's our first podcast.
Thank you for being a frond.
Did anybody get that? I hope someone got that.
Someone already bought the shirt.
What?
Yeah, I don't even know how.
Weird. It wasn't me.
I know. It's kind of spooky, but
okay, buy the shirt. That's great.
Thanks for listening.